Been wanting to get this guy in the studio for quite some time. Sharif Shakur is joining us, AES Solar. First off, it's good to have you in the studio.
Good to have you. Good to be here.
I ran into him. He was working at another radio station doing some stuff down the hall. And I try to periodically go in and just pester him. Do I work? Is it working?
No.
Oh, okay.
Try harder.
I try hard.
Yeah.
Maybe today I'll win. Because I got a lot of questions. Solar energy, solar power. I want it. Right? I want to save money.
Absolutely.
But I got a list of concerns. You know, and if you do too, I'd love for you to text me if you've got questions about this too. Where Sharif's in the studio, maybe we can get you an answer flat on the spot. 618-985-5803. Okay, where do I start? I want to save money. I mean, that's the umbrella cause. How many times a day do you hear that?
Every time.
Every time?
Yeah. That's most people's motivation.
Right.
I mean, it's either that or... you want to put a battery on it, or use one of Enphase's new systems where we can have a battery, the PV, and a generator, and you can really have some backup. But it's money or backup. I hate to say it, but nobody's coming in and going, "Hey, I want to spend all this money to help the environment." That's not what reality is.
Right. It's the wallet. And yes, okay. I'm just going to throw away a first one at. Is there enough sun on my property? How do you find out? How do you know? Well, during summer, that's where the leaves are on the trees, and that's where I get the most shade, but that's where I need it the most. What about that?
So it's pretty simple process for us now. We use some software. It's kind of an industry standard at this point or an industry gold standard, and it uses LIDAR, which is like radar but with light. So I have the heights of everything around you. And then it models how much radiance your roof's going to get over the course of a year. It factors in the tilt of your roof and the direction.
I was getting ready to ask if the slope.
The direction it faces.
I have a shallow slope, and that's one of the reasons why.
So it takes those three factors, the irradiance throughout the year, the tilt and the azimuth, and it gives me a total solar resource fraction. It's 0 to 100. 100 would be like, you know, unshaded 37 degree facing south versus any other orientation or shading situation. And I look at that and I can say, hey, it's worth putting them here. It's not. But the reality is that the modules themselves have gotten really cost effective, and we're putting them on less and less advantageous roofs because the money works out now, right? At the end of the day, the money talks, right?
The efficiency goes up, so you've got, I see.
Yeah, the cost has come down. We you know, if you'd put it somewhere south-facing when it was $10 a watt, right? Well, now it's three-ish, give or take, you know, maybe 50 cents more, maybe 50 cents less a watt, right? It could be 60% worse of a spot, and it'd still be worthwhile. But we also have two incentives now when they didn't have that when it was $10 a watt. So it really changes the dynamics of it. I'm putting it on north roofs now.
Yeah, which for in our latitude, not the way to go.
Right.
Historically,
you're right. But with the cost being what it is, you end up with a TSRF in the 60 range. It's like having 30% shade. It's all good.
Give us surface area, and we can make it work. Now, this next person was apparently reading my mind. Mm-hmm. Do you have to install them on your roof? Not sure I like the idea of drilling holes in my roof. That's literally was next to my question. I'm marking that off my list now. All right, here's an example. I've got a shallow roof. I don't have a lot of property itself, right? It's the house and the buildings I have on it cover up everything. So I got a 10-year guarantee on my current roof. Do you guys climbing up there and putting screws in, how's that affect my roof?
At this point in time, generally not. You could contact your roof manufacturer and make sure they're okay with the flashings we would use. There's a lot of things that keep me up at night. Roof leaks isn't one of them, and I'm drilling thousands of holes a year in roofs.
Do you think solar panels are going to mean that more people use metal roofs? I have a family member who just bought a house, right, in Marion. Yeah. It's got a tin roof. It's not tin roof. It's a metal roof.
Yeah, I don't know. The reality is, you know, you as a homeowner are going to be worried about roof leaks. As a solar provider, I'm just not, and I guarantee against them. So you'd think if I guaranteed against it, it'd be something that keeps me up at night. It just doesn't. It's not the kind of thing I worry about.
All right. Now, I think about this, and you've already talked about it, is the cost. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we are. I want what I want, but I don't want to pay for it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I want top of line premium stuff, but
yeah. $10 a month sound good? Yeah, you know, yeah. Right? I mean, I think solar power can save me on my bill. Great. But after the storms that we've had, including the derecho, where I spent literally 8 days with no power in my house, if I have solar, I, in my mind, automatically rationalize I have electricity, whether the power grid is up or not. That's not the case. You've got to go to the next level.
Yeah, yeah. So just a grid-tied system, no batteries. You do not have power when the grid's out. You would have to add a battery for that. That's correct.
All right. So how good are they, and how will they last? I mean, what are we looking at? I know almost nothing.
For a battery?
Yeah, for backup. I almost know nothing about this category.
So we're installing two different batteries right now, well, maybe three.
Power walls is the euphemism I see?
Yeah, that's a branded product from Tesla.
Oh, is it?
It's an inverter and a battery together. It's a sleek product. We haven't started offering it yet. It's in the works, though. You know, most lithium batteries have a 10-year warranty on them. They're going to degrade over time. You're going to get a little less energy out of them each year. But as far as I've got it and it functions, it's pretty good. I really like the Enphase product. If you go around and look at what the people who work at AES have done when they've gone solar, right now everybody who works there is solar has Enphase. It is an absolute
phenomenon. What is it?
It's in a microinverter system. So everybody gets hung up on the panels. I want bigger panels. I want panels that are more efficient. As a solar professional, it's the last thing I worry about. Like, so it's really interesting that there's a disconnect between what the homeowner is concerned about, what I'm concerned about.
Right. I think you're different down the story curve.
Yeah, yeah. So the homeowner is concerned about how high quality are the panels and my roof leaks. I never worry about roof leaks, and I don't care about the panels. I mean, we carry tier one stuff, and this panel, that panel, I'm not too concerned about it. I am concerned about your inverter, because that's the part that changes it from DC power to AC power. It's the part that we're counting on longevity for. The panels are golden. That technology's been figured out. The manufacturing is solid. Not to say that they don't fail sometimes, but that's not the part that I'm concerned about functioning. And the thing about getting into an inverter system is when you get into like an Enphase inverter system, they have made everything backward compatible as they've gone. So if you get an IQ8 now, they're committed to making sure that as they come out with new battery technology, it's going to work with the backward stuff.
Right.
They want more customers too, you know, so it works for them.
And they know word of mouth is important at this phase in the growth mm-hmm. Growth
oh, yeah.
curve and
oh,
everything.
Yeah.
I mean, one of our listeners now, and I'm sorry, but I don't understand part of this, and I don't know if it's, maybe you will. Mm-hmm. Andy says, how can I economically justify the expense when I'm on a co-op that does not incentivize its members to install solar? I don't know about the co-op part.
Sure, and that's going to be the reality for everybody. So,
is he talking about electric co-op?
Oh, okay. He is.
All right.
He's talking about an electric co-op. As the power is being produced, anything you don't use goes back to the grid, right? It goes to your neighbor's house. That's where those electrons
you get,
go.
They say, oh, I know which incentive he's talking about. It says on your power bill how much they paid you for the watts that you put
in their
grid.
So right now, if you sign up and get energized by the end of the year with Ameren, and you're running out of time for that because it takes a while to get a permit and blah, 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 they'll give you a one-to-one credit passing back and forth. Co-ops give you some financial amount. One of them is 3.6 cents. Well, if you're paying 16 cents or 12 cents for a kilowatt hour, that doesn't feel like a lot. But the reality is you do three things, really. We can downsize the system, so you're using more of it as it's produced. You get more retail value, right? Anything you use as it's produced is worth that full retail value. You send less back. So we can decrease the size of the system to make it more financially viable. Or we can add a battery to make it more financially viable. So we'll store some, use it later. And then you have that for backup as well, right, for energy security. Or we can look at the levelized cost of energy. And what we have found is that we get to a certain size, and, man, Southern Illinois, our system sizes are a little bit bigger than other places. You know, people have larger yards. People use more power. That's just
never
the reality
thought about
of
that,
it.
That, whereas we're rural, we have more surface area. Yeah.
Well, I had somebody I'd met with from, you know, Arizona. We actually have larger systems than them, too. Just on average, it's just the way it works. So when we look at the levelized cost of energy, it's often less than that amount that you get sending back. which means everyone you send back was cheaper than what you got, so you're winning every time. But you have two incentives to stack on it as well. So it's just, I think the reality is you're still saving money on the co-op.
The country boy wise, that steady drip fills the bucket.
Steady drip fills the bucket. There you go.
Right. Dennis texts, what is the procedure for replacing your roof with solar panels on it? Who removes and replaces those panels?
Sure. Yeah, we do that. We do that for customers. The last hailstorm, we had some customers' roofs who got hail damage, and it's an additional cost to consider. But we will come, we'll remove everything, work with your roofer to ensure that our timelines line up, because we want your system to be down for as short a period of time as possible. So you're going to get to that roof next Tuesday? Okay, I'll come remove them Monday.
Right.
Let me know when they're done. You think you're going to be done by Thursday? Okay, I'll put them back up on the following Monday, and then you're down for a short period of time. But everything has to come down. Everything has to go back up.
What about where's the threshold on storm damage? And I know that's kind of subjective, depending on wind, whether it's hail, what is it, what was it? How much of a problem is that for solar panel owners?
So they are rated to handle 1-inch hail. I know Longi, which is a panel manufacturer, has released a module for those concerned about it with thicker glass. I don't know that it's worth it, but
it depends where you live, probably.
Probably. Texas had that farm that got just obliterated with the hail, and everybody got real concerned about it.
Right.
But if you look at like the scope of like everything that's out there versus what got damaged, that's really the way to look at that. But not really. We've had some hail damage mods, but you get bigger hail. The thing to keep in mind is it is not warrantied for hail that would fall under homeowner's warranty. The module manufacturer does not warrant against that.
That's a good one. All right. Charlie from Marion says, Shakur mentioned cost per kilowatt, but what is the actual cost for like a 1,500 square foot home? I think he's talking about air conditioning and heating.
Sure. It's so all I can really say is our average system is about 45,000, which seems like a lot when you go, oh my gosh, it's 45,000.
Right.
But you're getting a third of a tax credit, 30% tax credit, and the state has an incentive that is money that comes directly to you. It's a production-based incentive, so it doesn't have a percentage. But the math works out to about 20 to 40%. And then solar loans last 10 to 25 years, so that's how people are paying for it.
All right.
Outside of leases.
Is there a yearly maintenance cost? Brian asked from Carterville. Brian, this morning, what is a yearly maintenance cost on the? Just say we've got a battery and panel.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. You know, we talk about the low maintenance, and really it's responsive maintenance. Something goes out, something needs cleaned. In the past, the it's always been, oh, you don't have to clean your panels, but every situation is different, right? So my
neighborhood with the dust and dirt from the roads covering up on two sides, I'm guaranteeing you there's going to be an issue.
Yeah, so we don't have like a yearly maintenance that needs done.
Well, I was thinking the rain would take care of some of it.
So the rain, snow's actually a really good cleaner, but I've got a system right now that when we looked at and we did a remove and replace on the roof a year later, right? The pitch, as the pitch goes down, start talking about, man, that soiling may stick there, you know. You don't have the slide from the snow.
And I'm one of those people with that small pitch I've got.
What do you think your pitch is, 15, 20?
15 if I'm lucky.
15 is probably where I start going, okay, we need to consider a little bit more of an effect from the soiling. This was a 7-degree roof under a tree. Of course, it's going to be dirty all the time. They're already cleaned regularly.
Sheila texts in from DuCoyne, how are people getting solar for free?
They're not. So there are people who are getting solar for no cost out of pocket, no upfront costs, and that can happen two ways. One is you can buy it and just get a loan, right? I don't collect money on my financed customers up front. The other way is there are a lot of leasing companies right now taking advantage of the last little bit of net metering in Ameren, and you don't pay anything, and you just pay for the energy it produces, but then you have somebody who owns stuff on your roof, okay? That's the reality of it. You have somebody who owns stuff on your roof, which means when you sell, you either have to buy the stuff that's on your roof, the person who's buying it has to take over the lease, or they have to buy the stuff that's on your roof. So is it free if somebody has a stake to the claim of your property? I don't think so.
No. All right, now I'm going to throw you a couple of, because I'm running out of doggone time and I don't want to. When things go bad, I have to come to work. Derecho, tornado a few weeks back, beginning of summer. I come home. If I'm at work and my substantial other is at home, this is not her venue, right? Power went out. She's like, where's the backup batteries for the, you know, I got lights with solar panels and just handy stuff for emergencies. If I envision this solar panel and a battery system and backups for another reason. I don't have to worry about her when I'm at work if something bad's happened and I've got to come to work and there's no power during a storm.
Sure.
Right? I mean, because I've talked to my friend who's an engineer, and I'm saying, should I get batteries? Or should I just go ahead and get, you know, a gas generator with an automatic switch that detects the power's out and it'll come up and power the house and run natural gas or gasoline or diesel, whatever I choose? I mean, and I got all these things that I want. I said, I don't want to spend $1 million. You've heard this. I want everything. It'll be
less than $1 million.
Right. But you get the idea,
I know,
right?
I know.
I mean, I'm struggling with this, and I don't feel that I'm in command of the data to be able to make a good decision financially for me, right? I'm thinking about retirement. What a great idea. Solar panels. I'll have a lower expense every month for my power
and
bill.
And it's fixed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what it's going to be, and after you put it up, no one really has control over it. So if your question is about batteries versus generators, we do both, actually. We started doing generators 2 years ago. You know, so a battery, you're going to have limited power output. You do with a generator, too, but it doesn't cost much more to increase it. You know, so you can get a 22-kilowatt generator that'll run most homes in the area. With a battery, or current battery technology, you know, your best bet, you're going to get 80 amps out of it. I can double stack those sometimes in situations, but you can't have a generator, you know. So there's all these trade-offs. If you want to power everything in your home and you don't mind being, now you're beholden to a fuel supply, right? Then a generator may be a good solution. The thing I think is really cool about a battery backup, though, is you're not beholden to that fuel supply. As long as the battery and solar system are operational.
Like the Independence. And if you're
tomorrow, it charges.
Yeah. And if you're in rural southern Illinois at the end of the power line, and I've got friends of mine, they're at the end of the power line. Mm-hmm. That's it. It goes to them, and they're going to be last on the list when it comes to getting fixed.
Sure.
They've got a battery. They've got a system that tilts itself towards the sun and also folds itself up in the event of severe weather if you want to.
Okay.
It's like a daisy. It kind of spins back down.
Yeah, they've got one of the solar flowers.
Yeah,
those solar are super, flowers. Those are super cool.
In Polk County.
Like 6 kilowatts. Yeah, they're super, super cool.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's all these options out there, and I think it's to the point of you've got that fear of missing out thing, an opportunity, while intimidated by the technology.
Sure.
And that's kind of where I think I am. And what happens is, I do nothing when I've had an opportunity, and I'm afraid I'm letting it get away from me.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I like Enphase so much, is outside of the state incentive. The state incentive has this goofy rule about expansions. They want them to be self-metered, which one of the beautiful things about Enphase is you keep adding to it, right? That kind of botches that. But you can add on the battery side, right? So I can put up an Enphase system with, and say, put two batteries up. And buy it and tell me, you got to tell me in advance, though, I might want to put a generator in someday, because the system controller, you need one with or without generator support. That can't be changed later without buying a whole new unit. Okay, so I'm going to put up two batteries for you. You're not ready for the generator today. Okay, let's put some load control on, because those two batteries aren't going to run everything. Let's either knock out some big loads or put in a little loads panel and say, hey, your fridge, your hunter, it's full of meat, and you want some lights and you want some fans to be comfortable. Okay, you live with that for a while, you have an outage, and you go, I want to spend the money on more. I can come in and put the generator in, remove the load control, and now we can back up everything, and your generator runs. So it's more adaptable now than I think it ever has been. Before, you were really, every little piece had to be calculated to the nth degree, and now that's not so, and you can add and change and modify, which is nice.
All right, now this is a good one from Bradley and for Jens. What is the breaking point? I know there's different ones here for different times. At my age, I need to show profit in 3 to 6 years. Recovering from the money invested. Mm-hmm. A little early?
It's going to be close to that. On Ameren with net metering right now, you're going to be good. You know, 7, 8, 9 is probably where we're at with the two incentives in reality.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't look at any of my other investments on when have I rec- recouped my money. And there, here's a couple things with that. Is one, if we're adding a battery, we're no longer talking about an investment, right? We're talking about a security vehicle. And two, when have you made an investment and gone, when am I going to get my money back versus what is my rate of return, right? And you may say, I'm not going to live long enough. You're also ignoring the value there of increased property value. We're actually a Pearl certified contractor, which means on your residence, I give you an addendum that shows the actual equity value in your home with that solar system. So if you include that, your rate of return's much, your break-even point's much, much sooner.
Right. This has helped me a lot. Sweet. I hope it's helped some other people a lot, too. Yeah, yeah. I want to make a decision, but I want to make the right decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm thinking about retirement and, you know, lowering my electric bill and also being able to live independent of my own sort, self-reliant, if the power goes out for 3 days or 12 hours.
Yeah.
You know, either one. Which I get last, when, well, how long do you think the power's going to be out? I don't know. Historically, it's about, you know, maybe 2 or 3 hours, maybe 6, maybe 12, maybe a week.
Yeah, well, and also historically, we haven't done things, the things that we're doing to the grid right now. So, you know, we're turning off demand plants and increasing. Do you have fewer electronics today than you did a year ago?
No.
We're going to put all the EVs on it. There's going to be a lot of demand on that grid, and I think... little independence is going to go a long way real soon. You know, I know when the grid goes out, I'm like, well, wish I had a battery for my TV, my lights, keep my fridges cold.
Right.
Yeah. Little creature comforts.
This is exactly where I'm at, too. Mm-hmm. Really, thank you. Thanks for coming
Absolutely.
In.
Thanks for having me.
Sharif Shakur, AES Solar.